But let's jump right into the Word of God for the last few moments before we continue with some more fun. You should have your notes in front of you. You can also get the notes on brendanwitten.com, and you can also get them on our church app. So I'm excited about that, and I am excited about just a couple things I wanted to make sure I just put an extra punch in for really quickly. First and foremost, I am excited about the fact that we've got a TCC podcast that started up now. And so you probably saw that when it came through in the announcements, but you've always been able to download the messages online. But now if you want to get a podcast and just do a podcast link, we have it on iTunes, Spotify, a whole bunch of other places. So just go and search Toronto City Church, and that'll be a good opportunity just to connect with the Word of God. Also want to just encourage you, if we're continue giving in our legacy offering. We did that several weeks ago. Thank you to everyone who's given so generously and who continues to give very generously. And just to let you know, if you want to still be involved in the legacy offering, you can do that. And we just would welcome you to participate in that as the Lord would lead you. Finally, I just wanted to give a shout-out for Love T.O. And so this coming Saturday, everyone say this Saturday. This Saturday, many of you are familiar with the Jesus in the City Parade. They also do a Taste of the Jesus in the City concert at Yonge and Dundas Square. And so last year, we had a great opportunity to actually partner with them and a couple other ministries and set up a prayer booth as part of the gathering and part of the concert right there in Yonge and Dundas Square. And so a team from our church got to pray with all kinds of people, share the gospel, minister to people. And so we wanted to invite you, if you are interested in doing that, it's this coming Saturday. It's going to be from 2 till 8 p.m. That's how long the concert runs, but you don't have to come for the whole time. You can come for part of it. And so Yasmin and Rebecca are helping oversee this. I believe Yasmin was here. I'm not sure if she's still here. I think she might have slipped out. But if you're interested in more information, sign up at the Welcome Center. We will send you an email and just let you know who the team is and how you can connect with that. And last but not least, before we jump the word, how many of you, last week we talked about a movie that was being released called Unplanned. How many of you had a chance to get out to see Unplanned so far? All right, so we got a bunch of hands around here, which is awesome. I really want to encourage you, if you have not had a chance yet, this is an amazing film. There's all kinds of persecution against it, all kinds of attacks against it, straight up lies being printed about it, all kinds of things. And the only reason that's happening is because the enemy considers it a threat. And it's just a really powerful film. I really believe God's hand is on it. And so one of the things I've been encouraging our church family is about Abby Johnson, who was a former director of an abortion clinic, but then she saw something that changed her life. And she's gone on just to really do some amazing things. And so there was a whole battle to get it even here into Canada. And that's the reason why I'm really encouraging our church family to support it, because it really speaks of life and it really speaks of so many things that agree with biblical values. And so one of the best ways we can do is get behind it. Because sometimes we say, oh, we want more stuff that speaks of biblical values. But are we going to go to the theater? Are we going to invest to see it? Even if you can't make it, or you can just buy a ticket, you know, and just to support what's happening. And so I really want to encourage you, if you haven't got a chance to go, obviously the opening weekend was a big step, but they're still monitoring what happens throughout the week. And I believe it's just going to impact you by watching it. And so I really want to encourage you to check that out. I also wanted to mention having some good conversations this week, obviously because it deals with abortion. And it is a very straightforward film. It really puts the truth right out there. People are saying, well, what can I do more and how can we be involved? And one of the things I want to emphasize is the importance of really supporting pregnancy help centers. And so I want to encourage you, one of the ways you can say, I want to make an impact or make a difference, is because it's one thing for us to say, well, you shouldn't be doing something. Maybe say to a mom, well, you shouldn't be going to have an abortion. Okay, but who's going to be there to help her? Who's going to be there to support her? It's one thing for us to just kind of tell someone you shouldn't be doing something, but are we going to get alongside to help them? And pregnancy help centers do that in amazing ways. There's actually one right in this area. And so I really want to encourage you, that's something you can learn more about, a way you can support. As well, I wanted to say that for some of us, maybe if we've had an abortion in our past, I said this last week, you know, or as a man, maybe you were part of one or part of, you know, encouraging one. That can really bring a lot of guilt, shame. There can be a lot of things. And there's just no condemnation in Christ. But as well, sometimes things like this can really trigger different things in our heart. It can really bring up different feelings, emotions for us. Maybe there's things we've never really processed through. And so I really want to encourage you, if you really feel like maybe for whatever reason, that something really kind of even talking about all this has really brought up hurt inside of you or brought up things you face from your past, we really want to encourage you, reach out to someone, have a conversation, God wants to bring healing to you. You don't have to live in silence about it. You don't have to hide it. There's no judgment about these things. There is only forgiveness. And so if you want to do that, or if you want to learn more about someone in our church family who would be great for you to talk to would be Victoria Martin. So Vic, if you can, well, she's got her little ones, so she, if you don't mind standing for a second. Vic has been very involved, and so just someone our contact, we'd love to just help you in any way we can because we think that's important. But again, let's get out this week and just continue to support what's happening. Amen? All right, well, let's dive right into the Word of God. I'm going to pray, and then let's just jump in for our last few moments here of service. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for your Word, and Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to go to your Word today. Lord, I thank you that you are going to speak to us in real and in powerful ways. Lord, I thank you that you are going to minister to us, Lord. And Father, I thank you that you are going to really there's going to be a real spirit of wisdom and revelation here in the church family today, just as we continue to talk about why it's so important that we gather, and even more specifically today, talk about the heart that God has called us to have as we gather together to seek him. And so we thank you for all this, Lord, in Jesus' name, and everyone agreed, said, amen. All right, first and foremost, I've got our prophetic roadmap at the top of your notes. Just keep that in front of you. Keep praying. Keep focused on it. Let's keep pushing what God has for us. But the topic of a message today is I want to talk to you about setting our hearts to seek the Lord. Now, as you know, I said last week was Sunday fun day because some people are probably wondering, what in the world are you going to preach about when you're talking about Sunday fun day? But as I really considered it, I thought I want to talk about this, why we gather together, why it matters so much, why it's so important. And that's really what we wanted to put our focus on. Because we know that Sunday gathering isn't everything. Sunday gathering isn't, you know, and in times past, maybe there was an overemphasis placed on the Sunday gathering where it's like, well, just go to church. That's all that really matters. And we know, well, number one, we are the church. And number two, there's so much more to serving God. You know, I shared with you last week that kind of famous old quote from Keith Green, who's a musician, said, going to church doesn't make you any more a Christian than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. You know, and so we're not trying to overstate it, but I think in the meantime that perhaps we've even gotten away and we've gone too far to the other side now where there's not enough emphasis on the importance of us gathering together. That people are just very, very easy to let almost anything cut in and stop them from gathering together with their church family. And so we wanted to talk more about why does this matter? Why is this important? God doesn't just want us to do things just because. I don't know, maybe you had parents or maybe you are a parent who just thought, well, just do it because I said it. You know, that's not the wisest thing. There's times where you have to say that. But God wants us to understand why. And he wants us to understand his heart behind things. So he gave us the scriptures and the word for. And so we talked last week about the importance of why we gather. We talked about the fact that it's commanded in the scriptures. We talked about the fact that we need each other. We talked about the fact that when we are isolated, it's easy for the enemy to take us out. But when we are coming together, there's a strength that happens. And just even the fact of you making sure that part of your life is gathering together with other believers, that brings a strength and a protection to you. And then we also talked about the profound effect it had on our children. And that our children don't pick up as much as what we say, but what we do. And many times if we put a low priority in getting together in the house of God, that communicates a message to our children that our faith is not important, that following God doesn't matter. And so even the fact that we go when there's a priority means that. And so as I said today, I wanted to build a little deeper because we talked about why we gather, but I want to talk a little bit more about the heart that we should have as we gather. So we know why we should gather, and we're here. I'm glad you're here today. But I want to encourage us. I want to challenge us a little bit. I want to get you thinking a little bit about the heart of why we gather. What is the heart that we need to bring as we come together? Because it's good that we're here. But as I'll show you from the scriptures, God is not looking as much as just our outward actions as he is looking at our hearts. And so it's important that we're here. But what is the heart that God would want us to carry? Now let me just start with a couple of what I'll call important paradigm shifts that we need to have. First and foremost, just remember, number one, I don't get to choose where I go to church if I'm a Christian. Or let me say it this way, maybe a little differently. I shouldn't be choosing where I go to church. Let me explain to you what I mean. When you become a follower of Jesus Christ, what you are doing is you are submitting to the lordship of Jesus. In other words, you're saying, Jesus, you are my leader. You are my director. You are now my boss. And part of that means, the Bible says, my life is no longer my own, but I've been bought with a price. Jesus actually set this example for us in the Garden of Eden. We prayed, Lord, not my will, but your will be done.
And so when I say we shouldn't choose where we go to church, what I mean is I don't choose where I go to church. I seek God where he's called me to be, and I get there, and I stay planted there, and I'm faithful there regardless of how I feel or not. Now, this is so important for us to understand because we live in a consumer-based culture. If it's not exactly right, just go somewhere else and get it. We've got so many options in front of us, so many different restaurants to choose from, so many different stores to choose from, so many different options. I mean, nowadays I can just flip on my TV and I can have like 8,000 movies available and 3,000 channels. We've got all these choices, and I'm not against all that. I like, you know, free market economy, and I like all these different things that we can get. But that's not the mindset I need to bring to where I go to church. My mindset should not be, let me decide where I want to go. My mindset needs to be, God, where have you called me to be? And I'm going to be there until you tell me something different. But other than that, I'm going to be planted where God has called me to be. Someone tell your neighbor, be planted where God has called you to be. This is so important, family, because there's so many people today who I don't think they have a bad attitude about, they don't have a bad intention, but they just kind of feel like, well, I can just choose where I want to go, and I can choose if I want to go. Like, you know, sometimes we I'm just going to skip church this week. Did you ask the Lord about it? Well, I think I'm just going to sleep in this week. I might say, like, again, we talked last week, we're not talking about a legalistic perspective, but I think so many times we just do what we want to do, and we don't seek the Lord and say, Lord, is this what you want me to do? And so it's important. I don't choose where I go to church, and I don't choose how. I need to seek the Lord and make sure that his will is the priority of my life. And so that's the first paradigm shift that I want us to grapple with. The second paradigm shift is we gather first and foremost for him and not for ourselves. This is really important because I think all of us in here would think, well, of course, Pastor, we're gathering for God. And we're gathering for him. But so often, well, frankly, actually, many people don't even think that way. We come in and we see it completely through the filters of what's best for me. And I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you just to check your heart today. Did you come here for him or did you come here for yourself today? Now, I'm glad you're here. I'm not trying to knock you about it. But why did we come? Because, again, if we take this consumer mindset, it's like, I'm going to pick where I'm going to go, and I'm going to make sure it works for me, and I'm going to make sure I like it, and I'm going to make sure that it's the way I want it to be, and it has the things I have, and if they don't have what I have, I'll go find somewhere else and get what I want to get. Where does God fit into that equation? See, the paradigm shift is saying, okay, God, I'm here for you. I don't come in to worship and go, well, how do I feel? Do I feel like worshiping today? What difference does that make? God's the one who's getting the worship and deserving the worship. Right, but it's so easy for me to focus on me. But if I'm going to grab this paradigm, what I'm saying is, no, God, I'm here for you. Somebody tell your neighbor, I'm here for him. So number one, we're not choosing where we go to church. We want the will of the Lord for our lives. And let me encourage you in this too. Let me just say this. Sometimes, a lot of times we equate being where God wants us to be with everything being easy and going the way we want it to. But actually in the kingdom, it's completely different. And often, if you're in the church God's called you to, it doesn't guarantee it's always going to be easy. You're going to get along with everyone, and everything's going to be great. Actually, sometimes God will take you into seasons. He wants to give you what you need, not just what you want. And in the end, you're going to be so happy he did it. But what happens for so many people is they've got, I'm going to go where I want to go mindset. Things get hard in the church they're at. They go, I'm out. I don't want to be here anymore. I'm gone because this is easy. And they go, and they end up, but what they do is they actually remove themselves from the process of God always doing their lives. Now, does this mean someone can never move churches? Of course not. If God sells you, if he transitions you, like this is not about holding on to people. I'm really big on this. I tell people, listen, be where God's called you to be. If it's here, get here. If it's somewhere else, how can we support you to get there? We just want you where God wants you to be. And see, and then we're coming not with a consumer-based mindset, but we're coming with a God-centered focus. And we're coming to the third paradigm that I want to encourage us in just to lay a foundation here. Is we are called not to be spectators, but to be participants. Someone tell your neighbor, I'm not a spectator. Tell them I'm a participant. Now, I know when we gather together, it's easy to take a spectator mode. You know why? Because you've got nice comfy chairs. And we all come together, and we face a stage, and we're in chairs. So it can be very easy to think, well, it feels like the movies, or it feels like a sports game, or it feels like whatever else. But we've got to push past that mindset. Some of what we do is just for practicalities. But it's so easy to be a spectator instead of understanding, no, God's called me here to be a participant. God's called me to be part of what he's doing. Did you come together today? Did you come here with a heart that says, I want to be part of what God is doing? Or did you come here to watch something? And again, not like we all got to check our hearts on these things because it can so easy to watch. See, when worship comes, we're not trying to create a worship concert here with some great team on the stage that we all applaud and say, well, wasn't that wonderful music? No, no. The audience is Jesus. We are all the worship team. Some of us can sing. Some of us can't. Some of us can play instruments. Most of us can't. It doesn't really matter because he's more impressed and more touched by our hearts for him. But see, you come into worship. Are you a spectator or are you a participant? When it's time for offering and giving, are you a spectator or are you a participant? And at time for the word of God to be preached, are you a spectator? That might sound funny to some of you. Well, of course I'm a spectator. I'm listening to you preach. But I promise you, there is times where I preach and I feel like I'm plowing. I feel like I am pushing through so much resistance and there's so much that's going on. And I don't mind because the word of God is like a hammer. And if that's part of my assignment on that day to push through some resistance, I'll do it. But I'll tell you my favorite times to preach. My favorite times to preach is when I don't have a bunch of people just sitting there looking at me, but when I've got people who are engaged in the Spirit and their hearts are hungry for what God wants to say and there's an openness. It pulls stuff out of me that I didn't even mean to say. It pulls stuff out of me that I wasn't even prepared to do. It pulls. Sometimes you'll be listening to me preach and all of a sudden I'll go off on some tangent. I never planned to say it. I didn't know I was going to say it, but somebody's engaging with me. Their spirit of faith is there and the Holy Spirit just pulls it right over. Are we spectators or are we participants? And so I want to encourage us, even as we're on this journey of why this is so important, we don't choose where we go. We need to be where God's called us to be. Number two, we need to gather for God, not for ourselves. If I gather for me, it'll always fall short. If I gather for the Father, I will always have the abundance of what I need. And number three, that we make a decision and say, I'm not going to be a spectator, but I'm going to be a participant. Are we serving? Are we engaging? Are we involved? And I want to encourage some of you, because maybe for a while you've been in the more of the spectator zone. Why not just make a decision today and say, you know what, I'm going to cross over and I'm going to become a greater participant in what God's doing. How can I be involved? How can I help? How can I serve? How can I connect more with the move of God as what he's doing through Toronto City Church? See, what I've come to understand, guys, is that when we gather, number one, it's important that we realize the importance we're here. So I said, hey, you're here. That's awesome. But number two today, I want to dig deeper, and I want to say, what's our heart as we're here? What's your heart today as we come together? Because we want to have the right heart. I mean, I want to have the right heart. How many people would join me and say, I want my heart to be right in this? Let's look at a couple verses. Isaiah 29:13 says, and the Lord said, because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men. Now, this is a bit of older English in that. This is a prophetic cry from the prophet Isaiah that comes from the heart of God. But in essence, what he's saying is there's these people, my people, they're saying the right things. They're singing the right songs. They're standing up when they need to stand up. They're sitting down when they need to sit down. If we're doing Sunday fun day crazy things, they line up with hand signals and figure out. Now some of you are going, oh my gosh, what are they doing to us right now? But they go through that. We do all the stuff. We put on the outside motion. But God says, what bothers me is, where's your heart? Your heart is far from me. God, what matters to him is his heart. What heart attitude did we come in with today? What heart attitude did we participate in this? And what I found is this is something I have to do a regular checkup on. Because I can have a good heart attitude in one season, and then the next season, without even realizing it, I can totally lose that good heart attitude. There's a war over your heart. There is an attack of the enemy against your heart. If he can get to your heart, I mean, he'd love to get you completely out of church and get you out of the things of God, but often with many of us, he knows he can't necessarily do that, at least off the start. But he can go after our heart. That's why it says in Proverbs 4:23, to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the forces of life. And so God is concerned about our heart. And so it's important that we come together. But it's important that we come together with the right heart. And we're going to talk a little bit more today about what that right heart is real quick. 1 Samuel 16:7, this is a verse many of you be familiar with. And it says, and the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. You know, we came in today, and just naturally, we're all seeing the outward appearance. You know, we're wearing our graphic t-shirts. We are at summer. We're having fun. People are looking good, you know. And all this is coming out. We're seeing the outward appearance. But God is, I mean, he sees the outward appearance, but he's looking past it. He's saying, okay, but what's in your heart? You may have a kicking graphic t-shirt today, but what's going on in your heart? You may be dressed to impress. You may be dressed up to the nines. You may have, but what is going on in your heart? Because that's what I really am concerned about. And so it's good that we gather. Let's put a priority on gathering. But what's even more important is that we gather with the right heart. Everyone say, my heart matters. And so as we come together, what I want to challenge is just four simple things, four simple areas that we need to prepare our heart. Because here's what I've learned. There's a lost art of preparing our hearts to come before God. I think in many ways, it's a bit of a lost art form that we actually prepare our hearts. Because he's like, well, I'm not doing anything. Right? Like, you'd expect me to prepare my heart to preach. Most of you would probably think it's pretty weird if I just woke up in the morning, got in the shower, drove here, didn't talk to God about today at all, didn't pray at all, didn't do any preparation during the week. Most of you think that's not really good. But most of us think about ourselves, well, I don't need to prepare my heart. But I'm saying to us, well, yes, we do. Are we preparing our hearts and getting our hearts into the right place before God? Because I believe that a church family that prepares their heart and comes in the right heart attitude is going to see so many amazing things that God wants to do. But what if many of us fall into the trap of realizing thinking we don't need to prepare our hearts? Or well, that's pastor's job. He'll preach at us and encourage us and pray for us, and then my heart will be okay by the end of it. Y'all, want to encourage you. There's times where you do need to come because your heart needs some work. But as you mature in God, you get your heart set so when you come in, you're already ready to do what God's called you to do. And the more people you get coming into that place, the more you're ready for God to bring even more people who need the heart work, and then they get healed and whole, and it grows and it advances, it moves forward. So what are some things we need to prepare our hearts for? Well, first and foremost, I want to encourage you in this truth of preparing our hearts to worship. Everyone say to worship. Let's look at Matthew 15, 8 and 9. This is Jesus actually quoting this same passage from Isaiah. And he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. We see the same thing again. And watch this, but there's a little bit of a twist here. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. What I have come to understand, family, is one of the key indicators of my heart, one of the key outflows of my heart is my worship. After 20 years of ministry and walking this journey a fair bit now, working and ministering with lots of people, if I'm trying to get a read on someone's like spiritually and where they're at, one of the things I'll do is I'll watch how they worship. And I'm not talking about everyone has to look the same. There's different cultural expressions of worship. It's one of the things I love about our church, because we want to be an intercultural church where there's all kinds of different expressions of worship. There's also different personality types. I'm not expecting everyone to swing from the rafters or charge the front when things are really on fire like Emmanuel and go, woo, you know, and everything else. You know, because that's E-Man. That's what E-Man does. That's part of his worship before God. But here's what I'm saying. Every one of us can carry a heart of worship. You guys remember that old Matt Redman song, I'm coming back to a heart of worship? It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. But do we prepare our hearts to worship God? Or do we just roll in and go, okay, entertain me. What songs do we have today? You see what I'm saying? The difference that comes when we do that? And see, most of us, we've not even thought about this. I don't need to prepare. I'm just in the audience. Well, what if we did prepare? What if we said, because this is God-centered, not me-centered. It's about him, and I'm going to prepare my heart to come before the Lord. What would happen if we all came in with hearts prepared? And I'm not saying none of us do, but I wonder if many of us, it's a lost art for us, and it's something that God wants us to recapture. I was really impacted by this verse in 2 Chronicles 12, 14. It's talking about an evil king, and it says, and he did evil, for he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. Now, obviously, that hits me pretty strongly. It actually says when we don't set our hearts to seek the Lord, and obviously it's bigger than just a gathering, but did we come in today? Let's just do a checkup. Did we come in today setting our hearts to seek the Lord? It's one of the reasons why I do prayer at the start of service in this season right now. Because part of it is I thought, let's just pray and let's make sure, because we need a break-off point. You know, because you come in and you got worries and cares and conversations in the car and frustrations, and the kids were fighting each other all the way to church and they were just going back and forth, and you're like trying to get them into kids' church. Oh gosh, just get them in there, and all this is going on. And then you're coming in and the world's been spinning and all this stuff is going on. And then it's like, okay, did we set our hearts to worship God? Did we set our hearts to seek Him? I love this verse in Psalm 57, verse 7, which says, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. In other words, you can say, my heart is set, O God, my heart is set. I will sing and give praise. One of the outflows of a fixed heart, one of the outflows of a heart that's set to seek God, is songs of praise and worship to God. And so did we set our hearts to seek God and worship? I love this. There was a, recently I heard a quote from Francis Chan, who's a pastor and author. And he said he finished a worship service, and someone came up to him and told him, I didn't think that worship service was very good. I didn't really like that worship service very much. And Francis Chan replied and said, well, that's okay. We weren't worshiping you. Right? Kind of like one of those, hey, ooh, you know, just right there. But isn't that so true? Because I've done that before. I didn't really like that worship set very much. Well, that's good. They weren't worshiping you. I don't know. I didn't like that song selection very much. Well, Jesus did. Right? And why was this about me anyways? If I've got a heart where I can set to worship God, I mean, the lights can turn off. The instruments can shut down. You got some of you here with a ukulele, whatever it is. I can find a way to worship God because I'm setting my heart to seek the Lord. Right? We have a danger that we have to guard against in our culture right now because, you know, worship has become a music genre. And worship is very popular. And worship leaders can become rock stars. I would say, because, you know, you got a great worship, but I love them just as much as anybody else. But are we worshiping Jesus or are we worshiping worship? See, because if I'm worshiping worship, it's about how it makes me feel. It's about how what it does for me. It's about that. But if I'm worshiping Jesus, a lot of times there's great feelings. I'm not against the feelings. But if I'm worshiping Jesus, it doesn't matter how I feel. He still deserves the same worship. It doesn't matter how I feel. He still deserves the same praise. He still deserves everything I have, irregardless how I feel, because this is not about me. I don't come in going, well, how do I feel today? Well, I feel like staying at the back today. I feel like sitting down today. I don't feel like doing it. No, it's not about that. It's about what does He deserve, because I'm here for Him, and I'm setting my heart to seek Him, and I'm setting my heart to worship Him. We're not worshiping me. We're not worshiping any one of us. We're worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He deserves our very best worship, our very best praise, so we set our hearts to seek Him. Someone tell your neighbor, set your heart. Can I meddle for 1 second longer? Can I ask you a question? If I constantly show up late for worship, what does that say about my heart towards it? I'll just drop the mic right there right now. Okay. So we need to set our hearts to worship. Everyone say worship. Secondly, we need to set our hearts to give. Do we set our hearts to give to God? See, again, the challenge, I understand, family, because I go walk through the same stuff. The challenge for most of us is you just get so used to doing these things, right? We have worship. We have offering. You know, we do this. Did we set our hearts to give to the Lord? Did we set our hearts to bring our tithes, to bring our offerings to Him? See, there's a heart thing, because God's looking at our heart. And you can give a big amount, but if you give it with the wrong heart, I want to suggest to you God's a lot more concerned about the wrong heart than He is about the big amount. That's part of what Jesus was talking about when He talked about the widow and her mite. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 says, each one must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I mean, that verse just stands for itself. Do we give out of routine? Do we give out of tradition? Do we give out of guilt? Do we give out of kind of just, oh yeah, right, I got to, I don't even remember what it was. I'll just guess what my tithe is this week. I'll just do this, that. Like what heart is that? As opposed to God, this is part of my worship to you. This is part of what I'm bringing. I'm going to pray over this. I'm going to set my heart to give. That's why I loved what the team did this morning where they said, hey, my wife was saying, let's just set our hearts for a few moments before we give. Where's our heart before God in that? Deuteronomy 15, 10 to 11. This is actually talking about giving to the poor in the year of Jubilee, but I think it speaks of God's heart that he wants us to have all the time when we give. You shall give to him freely, and your heart shall not be grudging when you give to him. Oh, it's, guess I got to do this. Oh, my gosh, I wish I didn't have to do this. Because for this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all that you undertake. For there will never cease to be poor in your land. Therefore, I command you, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy, and to the poor in your land. And so it's this heart of saying, I'm not doing it grudgingly. I'm doing it willingly, but I'm setting my heart. God doesn't just look at what's in your hand. He doesn't just look at what you hit on the debit pin pad or you hit on your email transfer or whatever you say. And, you know, it's interesting because I was saying to first service crowd, you know, I remember the day when you gave cash or check in an envelope. Anyone remember those days? They passed the bucket, cash, check, envelope. Nowadays, we have so many options, which I'm not against. I like giving you guys opportunity. You can give cash. You can give check. You can give debit outside. You can give credit. You can give via PayPal online. You can now give via email transfer. I'm kind of kicking around the idea of text to give. But part of me, I'm like, okay, at some point, we got to stop so many options because people are going to just not know which way to go. But maybe in the middle of that, if I just kind of hit send halfway through the week, is my heart still connected to what I'm doing? I'm not preaching against it, but I'm saying when we give, do we set our hearts to give to the Lord? And so we need to prepare our hearts to worship. We need to prepare our hearts to give. Number three, we need to prepare our hearts to hear the word of God preached. I believe this is another lost art form in the church today. It's something that I believe God is renewing and reviewing. We've gone from people who stand up and declare the oracles of God to positive talks to make us feel better. Now, I'm not against things to try and make us feel better. I'm not against positive talks. But if a positive talk is not someone declaring the word of God and speaking the word of God, it is lacking and missing the power that God has. Let me show you what this verse says here. In Acts 2:42, a verse we'd be familiar with many of us, it says, and they devoted themselves, it's talking about the early church, first and foremost, it said, to the apostles' teaching. There was a devotion to the preaching and the teaching of the word of God. The Bible said that Jesus' ministry consisted of three things. He went preaching, teaching, and healing. And there is a value that God has placed in his design of things on the preaching and teaching and declaration of the word of God. Another passage says it this way. In 1 Corinthians 1:21, it says, for since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. Another translation talks about the foolishness of preaching. I remember hearing a message years ago about the foolishness of preaching. And this pastor, it was so powerful. He was talking about the power in preaching and declaring the word of God. And on one level, it seems foolish. What good is it going to do for someone to stand up and read a scripture and then say what God is saying about that scripture? And yet in the kingdom, as foolish and as simple as that seems, there is power that is released when the word of God is preached and when the word of God is declared. And so I want you to know today, I'm thankful for technology. I'm thankful for lights. I'm thankful for microphones. I'm thankful for screens. And we want to get even more creative in what we do. But all of that does not compare one bit to open up the Bible and saying, this is what the word of God says. It is written. And that we understand the power of God's word being preached and being taught. When God's word is preached, people believe it and they're saved. When God's word is preached, people are healed. When God's word is preached, people are delivered. When God's word is preached, people are declared. And I believe God is bringing us back to a fresh honor on the word of God being preached. It's not about which preacher is it. Is it this preacher? Do I like them? Are they funny? It's like, no. Are we opening the scripture? Are we seeing what God says? Are we declaring what God says? And I can receive from anybody who's declaring the word of God because my faith is not in a man or a woman, but it's in the Bible that's being declared. And I'm going to honor that word that is being brought forth. If a child steps forward with a scripture and something to speak, this is the word of God, and I'm going to be ready to hear what God has. See, there's a power. One of the things that changed my life was even as a young man, I went beyond hearing a sermon once in a while. I heard me say, I started listening to the word of God being preached and taught on a regular basis. Well, what difference does that make? It changes you. It transforms you. And it's when we put an honor on the word of God being preached and declared. Let me show us in Mark chapter 6, 1 to 5. If you want to pull that up for me, team, I've got verse 5 for you guys there. But this is the story of when Jesus went back to his hometown.
And verse 1 says, he went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? What is this such wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hand? So he's preaching and teaching the word. And then we go to verse 3. It says, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. So watch this. The word was being preached, but instead of it being honored, they minimize it. Who's this guy think he is? We know him. We know his brothers. We know his sisters. Who does he think he is to stand up here and talk to us like that? Who does he think he is? And so watch what happens. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and his own household. And it says, and he could do no mighty work there except he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. Now here's what jumps out. This is Jesus, the Son of God, anointed beyond measure, the most anointed being that's ever set face on the planet. And it says he could do no mighty works. It didn't say he would do no mighty works. It didn't say he looked at them and said, y'all are tripping. I'm not praying for anybody because you're disrespecting me or whatever. He didn't say that. He still tried. He still prayed, but it was only a few that could. Why? Because they did not honor him and they did not honor the word that was being preached. Could it be, family, that one of the reasons we don't see more of the move of God is because more of us do not have a revelation of honoring the word of God when it's preached and honoring the word of God when it comes forward, that more of us don't, and many of us don't understand it because it's just a lost art form to us. We're not even there. We're not paying attention. I mean, I'm guilty sometimes. I'm there checking my phone, doing this, doing that, and I'm not there honoring the word of God that's coming forward. And because of a lack of honor, there's a lack of manifestation. Why? Because the word of God says when the word is preached, signs and wonders should be following the word. And often we want to blame the preacher why there's no signs and wonders. And yet in this case, it wasn't the preacher, it was the listener. Some people say, well, Pastor, you trying to blame us? No, I'm just talking the truth here right now. Because we all need it. I need it. We all need it. But it's an honor on the word of God. Have we prepared our hearts to receive the word of God? Because the enemy's going to come to try and pull us away from that. So we'd be people, and Justin, if you want to come join me, we're going to land this plane. And have some freezies and some games and some all kinds of other stuff. But as we come together, we need to prepare our hearts to worship. Everyone say to worship. To give. Everyone say to give. Number 3, to hear the word of God preached. Everyone say to hear the word of God preached. Well, I found the foolishness of preaching. Take everything away. That's why the gospel can't be stopped. The devil's done everything he can over the last 2,000 years. He tries every angle he can. It looks like, oh, this might be trouble for the church, but the word of God always prevails. I was just reading some this week. I threw something on Instagram. It was talking about how, because sometimes we might get discouraged about what's going on in our culture. But I was reading an article of Nikki Gumbel, who's the founder of Alpha, and he's the lead pastor. They use a different title there, but of a Holy Trinity Brompton Church in London, and they're just leading like this resurgence in the UK they were talking about. I mean, it was a really interesting article, but one of the things he said, in 1790, he said, you know, St. Paul's Cathedral is the largest cathedral there. He said there were 10,000 prostitutes on the streets of London, and there was 22 people who showed up for Christmas service at St. Paul's. But it was out of that place when it seemed so dark. Sometimes we think, oh, it's just where, but it seems so dark. But that was when men like John Wesley and Charles Wesley arose. That's when, like, the Great Awakening arose. Guys, men and women, and revivals sprung up, but it was because the Word of God was preached. And John Wesley talked about it. Part of the thing that was amazing was they wouldn't let him preach in churches. You get kicked out of one, kicked out of the other, kicked out of the other, because he didn't fit the religious mold of the day. So they started going to the streets. There was this interesting, let me read this to you guys. Some of you saw it because I put it on social media. But actually, let me read it to you because this so marked me. This was an excerpt, kind of some highlights from his journals. And right now, our internet is so slow here, it's taking forever to pull up my Instagram. So let me come off the Wi-Fi, that'll get me quicker. All right. This was the excerpt from John Wesley's diaries in the late 1700s. This was at the beginning of the revival. Sunday morning, May 5th, preached in St. Anne's, was asked not to come back anymore. Sunday p.m. May 5th, preached at St. John's. Deacon said, get out and stay out. Sunday a.m. May 12th, preached at St. Jude's. Can't go back there either. Sunday p.m. May 12th, preached at St. George's. Kick out again. Sunday a.m. May 19th, preached at St. somebody else's. Deacons called a special meeting and said I couldn't return. Sunday p.m. May 19th, preached on the street, kicked off the street. Sunday a.m. May 26th, preached in a meadow. chased out of the meadow as a bull was turned loose in my service. Sunday AM, June 2nd, preached on the edge of town, kicked off the highway. Sunday PM, June 2nd, afternoon service, preached in a pasture, 10,000 people came to hear me. What if he gave up with that bull? What if he just said, God is too much? They got bulls chasing me now. I've suffered enough for the kingdom. Nobody wants to hear me. But he kept going, and there were so many men and women who kept going. But it's the power of the preaching and the declaration of the word of God. That's why, listen, I'm not talking about preaching at people, but you need to understand, when you share the gospel with someone, you might feel like, I suck at this, I'm terrible, I'm not eloquent. Okay, but you don't understand, the power is not in your words. The power is in the gospel, and the power is in the power of God that's released. So even when you stand up in the most humblest circumstances, and you just say, this is what God said, and people scoff, and people look at you, I don't even care what the Bible says. They can say whatever they want to say. There's power that comes. There's power that's released when you just speak the word of God. When you speak the word of God over your children, there's power that's released. They can run, but they can't hide, because they can run as far as they want to. You just keep speaking the word of God. Don't preach at them. I'm not talking about whatever, but I'm talking, you just keep speaking the word of God. And if you get kicked out, pushed aside, bull released in your service, one of these days, the word is going to come through, because God's word will never return void. Amen. You just keep at it, and you believe, you understand, it's an incorruptible seed. I'm off on a tangent here, but it says in 1 Peter that the word of God is an incorruptible seed. Another translation says a super seed. You just keep sowing that seed, and there's no demon in hell. There's no power of darkness that can stop the power of the word of God. It may not happen as quickly as we want. It may not happen in the way we think it's going to happen, but the word of God cannot be stopped. But see, this is the word. Are we honoring it? I'm not talking about, when Pastor Brennan's up there, whatever else. That's fine. Like I was thinking about, the team's been on my case a bit. Sometimes, you know, even when I come up on stage, sometimes people stand up and clap. And it always embarrasses me. I'm like, oh, God, everybody sit down. Like, but, you know, God started talking to me. It's, if you're clapping for me, you know what? I appreciate it. I appreciate the honor. So. But what if whoever was preaching, we said, you know what? The word of God's about to be declared. Let's set our hearts. And one of the ways we can do it is by showing some honor and respect towards what is about to happen. Right? It's not about, putting this person on a pedestal. Don't put anybody on a pedestal, but it's the word of God. And if we're a church that's so hungry that anyone who comes here, we're just like, you're going to preach God's word? Bam, we're with you. You might be a terrible preacher. We'll make you a great preacher. Because we're going to be so hungry, and we're going to be so open for what God wants to do. You get my feel on that? All right, I got to stop. I got to land this plane. All right, so last but not least, we have a heart to receive impartation. Everyone say impartation. This is one of the reasons why it's so important we come together. And I'm going to land right here. The power of impartation. Let me show you this. Romans 1, verse 10 to 11 says, always in my prayers, asking for somehow by God's will, I may at least succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. Now, I think there's a very interesting dynamic here. Did you ever heard someone say, well, God's everywhere. I don't need to be in church for God to get something to me. I technically agree. But the Apostle Paul, if there was a full element to that, why would he think I need to come to you? Why do you think I need to be with you to impart something to you? Why didn't you just pray for it where he was? Paul knew the power of prayer. Paul was a man of prayer. He also said, I'm with you in spirit. I believe he actually could even sometimes supernaturally be with people in spirit. But he said, there's an impartation that comes when we're together. And it only comes when we're together. Yes, Jesus is at the beach just as much as Jesus is here in church. But there's an impartation that's here when we come together that you're not going to get at the beach. You're not going to get in your bed sleeping at home. You're not going to get on your couch watching internet television or whatever else. It's going to come as we prioritize coming together. And we come with faith. And we say, God, I'm here for you. I'm here to lift your name. And I'm here to receive an impartation. Because I got purpose. I got calling. You've called me to do things. And when I come together, I'm not going to come empty-handed, but I'm not going to leave empty-handed, because you're going to fill me up in a fresh way today. I'm expecting it. I'm believing it. I receive impartation so that I have everything I need to do what you called me to do. See, when you come with that faith, you can't help but receive. You're going to pull it out. Why? Because it's the power of impartation. Everyone say impartation. And so we want God to say, God, help us to grow in our heart for worship. Prepare our heart to worship. Prepare our heart to give. Preparing our hearts to hear the word of God preached. And last but not least, to prepare our hearts to receive impartation.
Does this click for everybody? Is this something we're saying, yeah, this is what God is in our heart? Does this stir your heart the way it stirs my heart? So let's do this. If you're saying, God, I want to get better at preparing my heart when we gather together. I do. I want to get better at it. God's challenging me on some things. Maybe there's been a couple convicting moments. Maybe there's been some things God's been speaking to you about. Or maybe you're just saying, I want a bigger heart for that. I want you just to stand to your feet. We're going to close in prayer. And I'm going to pray for an impartation for each one of us because we need God to seek God. We need God to have a heart to seek the Lord. So let's just raise our hands to the Lord and we bring this to a close. Father, in Jesus' name, we are here before you raising our hands, God, and we're just openly admitting that sometimes we're not very good at setting our hearts to seek you. God, we get so easily distracted. We get so easily weighed down by cares and worries. And so today we ask for your help. Because you came, Holy Spirit, you came to help us and assist us. But we ask for your help that we would have hearts that are set to seek you. And God, even that we'd have a church culture here at Toronto State Church that we'd prioritize coming together. And number two, we'd prioritize setting our hearts to seek the Lord as we come together. And Lord, I pray for each one of us here that you would just stir in us. Where we need to be convicted, convict us. Whatever needs to happen, do it in us, God, that we would be people that would set our hearts to seek the Lord. And this is a church family in the name of Jesus where we set our hearts to seek God. We don't come together here for us, but God, we want to be people who come together for you. And we want to be people who lift your name up. We want to be people who honor you, who glorify you, who magnify you, who adore you, who esteem you, who place you in the highest place in our lives. And so I thank you for this, Lord. Even as we have fun and we gather, we do all these things, that there will be a seriousness and a sobriety about us, about the presence of God, about the Word of God, and that it will flow through generations. And Lord, I just thank you. Last but not least, I feel the Holy Spirit on this. God, especially, I feel like for children right now who are away from God, that you've spoken the Word of God. I just join my faith with you right now. That Word will not return void in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for every seed of the Word of God that's been sown, represented across this place. Whatever element is, we declare in the name of Jesus, God, that seed is bringing forth great harvest. It cannot be stopped. The devil cannot stop what God is doing if we don't quit. As long as we stick at it, we are going to see it through in the power in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed, said.